And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be looking at really the two most deadly isms of our lifetime and perhaps in all the annals of history, communism and Judaism. Now, you know, some people say, goodness gracious, that's a big issue, isn't it, to look at communism and also Judaism. Either one of those could take hours and hours. You mean you're going to cover them, Tex, over the next hour? Yes, I am, and I'm going to get also to the fact of the death of one of our Supreme Court justices, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Antonin Scalia, let's just call him Scalia. He was found, of course, dead, lying on his bed peacefully, we are told, with a pillow over his head. I'm quite sure that people don't die peacefully with a pillow over their head, but that's what we're told. Now, I'm going to sort of surprise you on all this because, you know, I've been surprised for a long time by Justice Scalia, a brilliant man, a conservative man, a Roman Catholic man, a member of the Roman Catholic order called Opus Dei, meaning work of God. Opus Dei, a secret society, and of course, with other groups such as the Knights of Malta. He was a member also of SHEFA. You may not have heard of SHEFA, S-H-E-F-A, which is, in fact, a Jewish organization. And that's the reason for my talk today, you see, because people think that communism was sponsored by atheists. Certainly not by Judaism. Don't the Jews believe in the Old Testament God? The I Am? Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about who founded communism. Karl Marx. Of course, he didn't really found communism, but he wrote of it and encouraged it and promulgated it and caused it supposedly to be brought to the Soviet Union, to Russia, which became the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and gobbled up many nations from Kazakhstan to the Baltic Republics of Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, etc. Karl Marx, he was a Jew, he was a Freemason, and he was a Satanist. Oh, yes, he was a Satanist, all right. No doubt about it. Now, we have read, of course, in all the newspapers that say such wonderful things, at least the newspapers that are conservative, say such wonderful things about Justice Scalia, don't they? I mean, what a great man. A conservative man. He stood up for traditional values. He was against same-sex marriage, against abortion. Many other good causes, it seems like, as many Catholics are. But it seems, as is true of the popes today, when you get to a man such as Scalia, who went, by the way, to a Jesuit high school, it was a military academy, a Jesuit military academy, graduated number one in his class, valedictorian. Then Scalia, of course, went to Georgetown University, which is in Washington, D.C., and is a Jesuit university run by the Order of Jesus or the Jesuits. And then, of course, he went on to Harvard University, because if you've been chosen, and by the way, he was chosen, he graduated near the top of his class at Georgetown, summa cum laude, that's the top 5%. And then even at Harvard, he graduated magna cum laude. That's pretty near the top also. Very distinguished man. They say he was brilliant. He was at the top wherever he went. And Of course, he became a appeals court judge and so forth. And finally, Ronald Reagan saw the how dynamic and brilliant he was and conservative and appointed him in 1986 to the U.S. Supreme Court. So he was on the court for, well, let's see, was that 30 years, isn't it? Yeah, 30 years, folks. 30 years. And some say that he never once voted liberal. Some say. But it also depends on what you think is liberal. Now, one of the things that Scalia did, he was very, very big on decisions that favored increasing the power of the presidency. You see, he had been in the Nixon administration and the Gerald Ford administrations as lesser attorney at one time. And so when he got on the Supreme Court, every decision that came along that had to do with whether the president had power, he always voted for it. I don't really call that conservative, folks, giving the president more and more power. Now, when George W. Bush ran for office and they had all the voting problems down in Florida with Al Gore, and it depended, finally went to the Supreme Court. And it seemed that all the Republicans, of course, voted for seating George W. Bush's presidency. The Democrats voted against it. And so Scalia was one of the guys that put George W. Bush in the presidency. He was a very good friend of George W. Bush. Now, I'm going to tell you about an article I was just reading here, and it has everything to do, believe it or not, it's a lot to do with today's question. Did Antonin Scalia, was he murdered? Some say he was murdered by Obama, the Obama administration. Some say that they used the CIA's weapon of use today, which is the heart attack gun. Now, you may not have heard about this, but they have an instrument which appears to be like a gun, and they aim it, and it shoots a direct force of electricity and interrupts brain waves and heart waves and kills the person. You remember Breitbart? Breitbart.com? Now, Breitbart was a young man, I think 43 years of age, and he had a heart attack. And they said it was very unusual for a 43-year-old man who had never had a heart problem before suddenly to drop dead of a heart attack. He was found on the street. He was walking from a bar where he'd been involved in a big, you know, conversation with people, and was walking towards his car, as I understand it, and suddenly he just killed over and died. Some say, though, he was murdered by the CIA and their new weapon, the heart gun. It doesn't really show any really outward signs. It works very silently. They say it's in great use today. He could have been killed by the heart gun. Let's call it the heart stun gun of the CIA. He could have been killed by the FBI. He could have been killed by anybody. Now, the interesting thing was that John Poindexter, the multi-billionaire from Houston, Texas, who owns the 33,000-acre ranch and the exclusive luxury resort near Marfa, Texas, a very bleak, dreary place. Nothing to do there, I can guarantee you. And you have plenty of time to maybe count the jackrabbits that hide behind the little bushes. I understand that maybe Justice Scalia went down and went quail hunting. I suppose maybe there's some quail there. I don't really know. But mostly you just go there to rest. They say there's no sexual orgies going on, things like that. And he was never known for those kinds of activities. But how would we know? We know now that Nelson Rockefeller died in the arms of a prostitute. And many others did as well. And we know of the reputation of people like Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton, how they sexually harassed, raped, or whatever, molested dozens and dozens of women. And they're still out there, enjoying life, running around, and being unpunished. But I'm not accusing Scalia of that. I don't know that for a fact. I'm not accusing him of whoremongering or prostitution. I am accusing him of being a member of the Opus Dei, secret society or order of the Catholic Church. From the very beginning, they said that he was a perfect Catholic. He knew all of the high flight of cardinals and bishops. He was honored by the Catholic Church. Now, I want to tell you about this letter that I was reading today, an article actually. Let's see, it doesn't matter really who it was written by, but has some interesting pictures. Because the article speaks for itself. You can get it on Google. You can go in and read it. And when I, let me read the article to you, the headline or the title of the article, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. Now remember, this is a Roman Catholic guy, Scalia. And remember, the court is made up of, let's see now, Sotomayor, who is a Spanish Jew. She definitely is a Jew. And she's a member of the Belize Society, sort of like the Bohemian Grove, mainly for women. It meets down in the little Republic of Belize in Central America every year, and they do some very strange things down there. Of course, she's a lesbian. Then there's Miss Elena Kagan. Of course, Kagan is a Khazarian word meaning the king. Kagan. She also is a lesbian. Both of these are liberals, of course. Sotomayor, a Jew, and Kagan, who is Jewish. So we have two Jews. Now, there's 9 justices of the Supreme Court. So we got to 2 of them. Now, then there's Stephen Breyer. I think he's still on the court, isn't he? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. He was appointed by George Bush Sr. to the court. He's Jewish, of course. That makes 3. Then, of course, there's Scalia. Now, Scalia is a Roman Catholic. Now, they have 3 Jews on there already. Oh, yes, thank you. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Thank you. I can't forget her because we got to talk about her a lot. Jerry's over there saying, you missed Ginsburg. Oh, I didn't mean to miss her. That's 4. 4 Jews. Now, usually the press doesn't talk about them being Jews. What does it matter? I mean, they're just Supreme Court justices. Of course, all of these are 4 liberals. But I think it's interesting that 2% of all of America, 2% of the 325 million Americans are Jews. 2%. But there, I've just given you 4 of the 9 Supreme Court justices. Now, we have 3 branches of government, of course. The presidency, the executive, the legislative, the Congress, House and Senate, and the Supreme Court. Of those, it seems the most powerful of all, who tells the others when it all comes down to the where the rubber meets the road, is the Supreme Court. After all, they found somewhere in the Constitution, I've read it, I have a copy here in my office, and you know, I used to teach American government, state government, local government, political science subjects at the university, and I never did find anything about homosexuals or same-sex marriage in the Constitution. I didn't even find marriage at all in there. Marriage was left up to the states, I assume, by the founding fathers. They never doubted, they never thought that it would be a federal issue. But somehow the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage had to be okayed or you were unconstitutional. Isn't that strange? Now, what's really strange about it is they found this about 240 years after the Constitution was written. It took 240 years. And the Constitution isn't even that long. I mean, how long is it? 15 or 20 pages at the most? 240 years to find anything to do with marriage and same-sex marriage or homosexuality. Same thing, you know, when they had the case Lawrence versus Texas. Justice Roberts, who's a queer, he's a homosexual man, put there by George W. Bush at the insistence of his chief vetting officer, who's now a senator from Texas, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz insisted this would be the best man, and George W. Bush agreed. George W. Bush is a notorious homosexual. as his top political advisor, Karl Rove. He's a noted homosexual. We got a homosexual nest there, don't we, friends? Well, in any case, John Roberts surprised us on Obamacare. You'll remember that. These judges sometimes will surprise you. But Antonin Scalia never really surprised anybody. For 30 years, he was conservative, true blue conservative. Or was he? But listen to the title of this article. I want you to tell me, what do you think about it? Here it is. Did an evening pork chop cause the death of Zionist apologist Antonin Scalia? There you go, folks. Very interesting article. Did an evening pork chop cause the death of Zionist apologist Antonin Scalia? It seems that amidst all this controversy, what we found out, and nobody's asking questions about it except this gentleman who wrote this great article, and even he said, nah, it's nothing. You know, there's enough calories, there's enough fat, that if you got that kind of a body and sort of pudgy and all that, and you're 79 years old and eat a big pork chop, you're likely to die. You know, I ate a pork chop just the other night. It was a big one, too. I couldn't eat it all. I'd take it home, eat for lunch what I didn't eat at the restaurant. I ate an evening pork chop. Didn't kill me. Of course, it may be something was in that pork chop. I don't know. But you know, a pork chop, I remember I was up in Oklahoma City visiting a prophecy ministry there, led by J.R. Church. And J.R. Church's wife, Linda, and Wanda, and I, we went out to eat dinner. Very nice place. And appreciated J.R. taking me there. Now, J.R., I didn't realize at the time, I was pretty new to the ministry back then, but he was pretty much a Zionist, you know, pro-Zionist, pro-Israel, and all that. And we ordered, and, you know, I said, I'll take the pork chops. And J.R. Church looked at me. You are going to eat the pork chops? I said, well, yes. I laughed. I said, yes. What about it? He says, don't you know? Jews don't eat pork chops. They don't eat pork at all. And I laughed. I said, do you see, have you seen the names on my books? Mars? That's not Jewish. I know, but aren't you pro-Zionist? I said, I'm pro-Christian, that's all. But surely you don't want to order pork chops. I said, well, yeah, they're on the menu. That's exactly what I want. So I had my pork, and I noticed the whole time he was looking at me like I was crazy. How could you eat those pork chops? Well, I later found out that, you know, J.R. Church was an insane guy who, he wrote articles, and pretty nice guy, but you know, the first time I went to visit him, I was sitting in his office across from him. We were just chatting about prophetic things, and he said to me, Tex, do you think we're very close to the time when Jesus is going to return? I said, well, it could be. I said, but you know, the Bible says that no man knows the day nor the hour, but you can know the season. You can know when it's pretty close. And boy, I tell you, things are really wrapping up. Things are really becoming incredible now, and it may be we're at that age when Jesus is about to return. He said, oh, I believe it is. I believe he's going to come this year. I said, really? You know, I was sort of shocked. How do you know he's going to come this year? Now, by the way, that was 20, 25 years ago, folks. He said, because I was speaking to my good friend, the rabbi. Boy, that just, think about that. You're the head of a Christian ministry. You're speaking to the head of another Christian ministry called Prophecy in the News, and he's telling you he just spoke to his rabbi. And he said, my rabbi told me that, he said, I asked him that same question. Do you think the Messiah is going to come this year? Now notice, he asked him the same question, but did he? He asked me, do you think Jesus is going to come? But he asked a rabbi, do you think Messiah is going to come? Hey, the rabbis don't believe in Jesus. And Jesus said, you don't believe in me. God sent me. You don't believe in me. If another comes in his name, him you will accept. That's what Jesus said. If another comes in his own name, him you will accept. Oh, they're going to accept the Antichrist. So J.R. asked the rabbi, do you think Messiah is about to come this year? And the rabbi said, could be, could be. So J.R. interpreted that as yes, oh yes, Jesus is going to come this year. So I responded, and the way I responded, boy, I think he almost just rolled up into a little package and just crawled under his desk almost. I said, well, I tell you, I don't know what rabbi you were talking to, but I wouldn't give it any precedence at all, J.R. Because the Bible says a natural man receiveth not the things of God. The rabbi is a natural man. He's born. So he's in the world. He's in the flesh. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you don't even understand what the term born again means. Because a person to be able to worship God and understand the things of God must be born again in spirit and in truth. I said, I would dismiss everything a Jewish rabbi said to me. They have no wisdom at all on things of God. They are natural people, natural men. They're not born again. And J.R. said, well, maybe so, but he's very wise. And that's all nonsense. Don't waste your time on Jewish rabbis. You want to find out about Jesus? Go to a Christian person, a true Christian who reads the Bible, who understands, who knows Jesus, who loves Jesus. That's who you need to consult, J.R. And so he said, well, I was asking you. I said, well, yes, you were. See, this is where Christians, even Christians, get all mixed up and confused. Folks, I read the New York Times. I read online. I read Drudge Report. I read the Washington Post. I read all these things, and I believe a little bit of what I read and a little bit I don't believe. Because they're liars. Because they're natural men. They don't accept the things of God. You can't believe those people, whether they're Jew or Gentile. They're natural born. All of us are natural born in sin until some of us, thanks to the mercy of God, are saved. We're born again. Now, did an evening pork chop cause the death of Zionist apologist Antonin Scalia? Is he a Zionist apologist? What? A Catholic? 30 years on the Supreme Court ruling as a conservative? Aren't the Jews liberals? Don't they have in the Talmud all these liberal things and horrible things? Horrible things about Jesus, calling him a bastard, a fornicator, calling his mother a whore. Horrible things in the Jewish Talmud. I think this article was phrased that way on purpose. They're trying to get a message to people. See, if I were going to kill somebody, I certainly wouldn't leave them lying peacefully on their bed with their night clothes not even wrinkled or rumpled with a pillow over their head. But if I wanted to send a message to someone, I murdered him. You can't prove it. There's no way. But he was murdered. Then I'd leave the pillow over his head. Now, I'm not saying it was suffocated, but that's the way to do it. It's a message. Leave the pillow over his head. Now, would they kill somebody? Who did this? If he is a Jewish apologist, a Zionist, and most people don't understand this, but I'm going to prove to you that he really was. And really, you know, a conservative. The neocons today claim to be conservative, but they're communists. They started out as Trotskyites, as very dedicated communist agents. But now they say we're neocons. The new neo-conservatives. We're the new conservatives. You see, after Nixon attempted to go sort of to leave the reservation, you know, to go off the reservation, he began to expose the Jews. And before it could really begin to work, well, the Washington Post and New York Times and all the others came out against him, and suddenly he was gone. He was gone. He was lucky he wasn't murdered. He was fortunate, or was he? I don't know which. Now, the Jews are quick to murder. How do I say that? Could I say such a thing as that? Well, let's read their Talmud. Remember, the Talmud is above the Bible. The Talmud itself, written by the rabbis, the ancient sages, says in its pages that it is above the Bible. And people shouldn't worry about reading the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. The rabbi should read the Talmud. And many rabbis spend their whole lives studying the pages of the Talmud. And when they do, they may find this out. It's in several different works of the Talmud, which, by the way, is an instruction in cruelty, the Talmud. Here's one thing it says. By the way, read about the ancient worshipers of Moloch. Read the book of Amos, my friends. You'll find out what the Jews did to their own children. They sacrificed their children to the fires of Moloch, the star god. The star god? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can read about Moloch in Acts 2. When Stephen, the martyr of Jesus, told the Jews, God rescued you from Egypt, but you went whoring after the past gods. You went back and worshiped the star god that you made to yourself. It's the star god. That's the Jewish six-pointed star. Here we read the Talmud. It says here, he who sheds the blood of a goy. Now let's stop right there just a minute. He who sheds the blood of a goy. Now what's a goy? That's a Gentile. That's a Jewish word for Gentile. It literally means cattle. Cattle. A beast. He who sheds the blood of a goy offers a sacrifice to the Lord. That would be found in Yalkut Simeoni and Midrash Bamidbar Rabbah, page 21. Anyway, that's the citation. Think about that. He who sheds the blood of a goy, a Gentile, offers a sacrifice to the Lord. Does that mean that the 3,000 men and women who died at the World Trade Center on 9/11, that they were sacrifices? Oh, yes, they were. They were a holocaust, a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. And the 3,000 or 4,000 who died at Pearl Harbor, because believe me, Franklin Roosevelt and Morgenthau, one of his chief assistants, and all the Jews around him, all of whom were communists. Yes, they were communists. They knew the Japanese were coming. They knew exactly what day they were going to come, and they allowed the people to be murdered. Do they care about one Gentile? Do they care about hundreds of Gentiles? No, no. They're acceptable sacrifices. You even get, you're performing a mitzvah. That means a good work in Judaism when you kill a Gentile. The key, though, is to get away with it. They got away with it. Now, Donald Trump told Jeb Bush, your brother as president knew. He lied. Ah, yes, he did. And they went on to send our troops into harm's way, into Iraq. And almost 5,000 American soldiers died in Iraq. Acceptable sacrifices. Holocaust for the Lord. Who is the Lord? Well, the Jewish Holy Lord is the Holy Serpent. That would be Leviathan. I'll be right back after this brief message. You're listening to Tex Mars, Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We're going to look at the man who ate an evening pork chop and was found dead the next morning with a pillow over his head, Antonin Scalia. The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed. See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. For me, he beats the time and gives the signs. Ever more boldly, I play the dance of death. That would be from the poem entitled The Player. Who is the author of The Player? Well, that would be Karl Marx. Here's another poem that Karl Marx wrote. He says, "And they are also Olenim, Olenim. The name rings forth like death, rings forth until it dies away in a wretched crawl. Stop, I've got it now. It rises from my soul as clear as air, as strong as my bones. Yet I have power within my youthful arms to clench and crush you with tempestuous force. While for us both the abyss yawns in darkness, you will sink down and I shall follow laughing, whispering in your ears, descend. Come with me, my friend, to hell." Friends, these are the words of Karl Marx, founder of communism. This is the guy that Hillary Clinton read and loved. This is the guy that Obama read and loved. This is the guy that Bernie Sanders read and loved. Olenim, of course, was a ode to Satan. Here's another poem of Marx. He says, "Ruined, ruined, my time is clean run out. The clock has stopped. The pygmy house has crumbled. Soon I shall embrace eternity to my breast, and soon I shall howl gigantic curses on mankind." Think about that. Here's a Jew, a horrible Jew, born to a very wealthy family. He was a Jew who claimed to be a Christian, but later on he was seen wearing his prophylactery. That's a little black box they put on their head, put a bit of the Torah, Old Testament in it, a little bit of scripture. His maid said that Karl Marx set up an altar in a room in his house, and it had black candles on it, and it had a statue of Baphomet. Think about that. Baphomet. He worshiped the devil. They said he was an atheist. Of course, to Christians he was, but not to Baphomet. We have this book entitled Marx and Satan by Richard Wurmbrand. Who is Richard Wurmbrand? Well, Richard Wurmbrand is a Romanian. He died just, maybe 10 years ago. He was a Christian and he was a Jew. It's interesting that his belief in Jesus earned him a trip to the Gulag. Yes, he was sent where he was tortured for many years by the guards of a communist Gulag. He wrote a book about his experiences entitled Tortured for Christ. And now he's written this great book about Karl Marx. He shows that Karl Marx was a hater of God and a promoter of Marxism, as it's called, and communism. Well, Marx and Satan. Just $15. I want to send you this book. I want you to understand the horror that is found in communism. The horror that the communists were Satanists. They weren't atheists. They were Jews. The rabbis were favored. Did you know that Solzhenitsyn, in his book Gulag Archipelago, shows that 70% of all of the commandants of the Gulags, the communist concentration camps, the labor camps, 70% of all the commandants were rabbis. Think about that. I don't know of one Jewish synagogue that was burned down. But yet every church practically was burned to the ground or was turned into a whorehouse or some other foul purpose. Even the greatest church in Moscow was burnt to the ground. They were going to build a great statue to Vladimir Lenin on the very spot where it stood. This book, Marx and Satan, you'll be surprised by it, but it will let you know what communism really is, because communism is Satanism. And it's back again, folks. And they're using these migrants and these trade acts and all of these things that we're getting today to bring back Satanism. You know, Angela Davis. Remember her, the black woman who was a black radical back in the 60s? The Black Panthers and all those groups. She had all the fizzy hair, you know, the Afro haircut. She's now back on the circuit. She's out there. She's head of some organization for migrants. She says the migrant cause, the resettlement of these migrants from the Middle East throughout the world. That is the issue of the 21st century. It's the communist issue. She says, this is communism, but we've repackaged it. We put it in a new package. We call it immigration. And people will accept it because they're going to feel so sorry for the migrants. And they're going to accept them in their community. And they're going to accept all of their strange religions such as Islam. And that's what she's doing today. And how does she get the money for this? Well, George Soros, the Jewish monster, he's given her plenty of money, as are other Jews. Because communism is Jewish. And Judaism is communism. Marx and Satan, just $15. I want you to have this book, $5 shipping and handling, a total of $20. Ask for the book, Marx and Satan, by Richard Vermbrand. Now, we have another book here called Behind Communism by Frank Britton. What does Behind Communism say? Well, it shows you all the names of the men who founded communism, starting with Lenin, next with Trotsky. All of them were Jews. 19 of the first 22 communists, the heads of the Politburo, were Jews. Did you know that Lenin never told anybody he was a Jew? It was ordered that if anybody released that information, they would be sent away to a gulag. But he was Jewish. They changed their name to Russian. They came from all over the world. Even Leon Bronstein was there. Well, who's he? Well, that would be Trotsky. He changed his name to a Russian name. But his name when he was in the Bronx, New York, was Leon Bronstein. Oh, yes, my friends, that was Trotsky. Behind Communism. Again, $15. Add $5 shipping for that book. So for $40, you can have both of these books. Behind Communism, that shows you the names and their communist affiliations and their Jewish racial characteristics. Stephen Wise, the most famous rabbi in the United States during the 30s and 40s. He was a personal friend of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was a whoremonger and a devourer of innocent women. He raped many women. But he got away with everything because he was, after all, the chief rabbi of the United States, Stephen Wise. He was asked about communism. He said, communism is Judaism. And Judaism is communism. He was proud of that. And many of the Jews in America traveled to Russia to help them set up the great Jewish utopia. You know what happened then, don't you, my friends? From 1917 to about 1984, they murdered 66 million. Don't ever doubt the harm, the damage, the malicious venomism of Satan and Judaism and communism all working together on one hand. Marx and Satan, $15, $5 shipping and handling, are Behind Communism. Again, $15 plus $5 shipping and handling. How to get these two books, or one of them, if you want just one of them, you can call up toll-free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com, or just textmars.com. You can also write to us here at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our program. We're talking about communism, about Judaism, about the murder of Justice Scalia. Now, folks, who killed him? Did the Jews kill him? Well, no. Let me explain what I have found out about Justice Scalia. Justice Scalia was chosen very early by the Catholic Church and groomed for his position. Now, if you have ever seen the movie Brotherhood of the Bell with the star Glenn Ford, it's a great movie. You'll find out what happens to people like Justice Scalia. You see, Justice Scalia was put in place for a very important reason, but he didn't know what it was. But he knew someday he may be called upon. Someday. And they would count on him. And he would have to do what they wanted him to do. Now, this is what happened to Roberts, of course. Roberts appears to be fairly conservative. But then suddenly, when the court was going to be 5-4 or 4-5, whichever way you want to go, he suddenly voted for Obamacare. You see, these people wanted to give us a socialist, communist medical system, which will end up eventually in murdering many old people who we put on a list just to be murdered, to be deprived of medical care and all that. It will happen, believe me, under Obamacare. And it'll progress to that. Obamacare, our deviant medicine, was very important to them. And so they told Roberts, you'll have to vote for Obamacare. And he did. This is what happened to Scalia. He was on the Supreme Court for 30 years. He seemed to vote for, well, the right things if you're a conservative. But I believe the court was very close to some big decisions. They're going to be voting, by the way, very soon on guns, on the Second Amendment. He might overturn that. People could be shocked. How could Scalia, Antonin Scalia, suddenly turn on conservatives? Why? Isn't he our man? Oh, yeah, that's what they do see. For 30 years, he was a great conservative on the court. Suddenly, he changed, and we lose our guns. We lose our country, don't we? Because probably the millions of handguns and rifles out there are about the only reason that we're still a free republic. But we're quickly losing our freedoms and our liberties, of course. Now, it seems that the person who misses Scalia the most is Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Why? They were big pals. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she made a statement. I want to read it to you here. She was asked about the Jewish Babylonian Talmud. She said, I read the Talmud every day in the morning when I get up. It is my guide for daily living, the Talmud. Think about that. She reads the Talmud every day. Of course, she's Jewish. Now, it seems that she was the best friends on the court with Scalia. They palled around together. Did you know that his wife, Scalia's wife, and her husband, and the two of them went on vacations together? How about that? You don't go on vacation with somebody you don't like. She says she's really going to miss him. His clear mind, his incisive judicial ability impressed her so much. But here's a woman who voted for partial birth abortion, has always voted for abortion, who conducted same-sex marriages, the whole liberal bit. But she was big pals with him. Now, she's a Jewish Talmudist. What would she be doing with a Catholic? Aren't Catholics, as Christians, opposed to Judaism? Oh, what do you think the Roman Catholic Pope Francis says? Jews don't even need Jesus. They have their old covenant. Don't you Catholics, don't try to evangelize them. Don't try to convert them. It's a miracle. Their blood gives them freedom not to accept Jesus. They can hate Jesus. They're still going to go to heaven. Of course, Billy Graham says that too. Isn't that amazing? Well, Scalia would not go against the Catholic Church. It says it in the New Catholic Catechism. And Scalia would be for that, wouldn't he? Yes, he would. He has been brought in. Vatican II, Pope John, brought in all of these scandals, all of these horrible things. The Jews are now our elder brothers. You know, a brother in Christ, is that what they are? That's what the Pope says. They're not just brothers, they're our elder brothers. It's right there in the catechism. You can read it for yourself. They don't need Jesus. They're our elder brothers. Isn't that strange? Scalia would agree with that. He agreed with everything as Catholic. In fact, he's a member of Opus Dei. Get an encyclopedia. Read about Opus Dei. You will find these people will deprive themselves. They love to go off to very austere surroundings. Very austere surroundings. They're the kind of people that take off their shirts at night, get on their knees, and whip their back with a whip. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Opus Dei. Oh, yes. Opus Dei. The work of the devil that they call the work of God. Now, my good friend Michael Hoffman has written a great article today, in fact. Let me give him credit for it. Now, he calls it Justice Scalia's sordid simulacrum. What does that mean, simulacrum? Well, it's a big word, but basically it means his sordid past, his sordid behavior. How is it that a devoted Catholic, a man who graduated at the top of his classes and at Georgetown University and at Harvard and has been on the Supreme Court for 30 years, a strict conservative, an originalist, how could he be sordid? What does that mean? Well, in his article, he talks about the fact that Scalia, regardless of his IQ, regardless of the fact that he was the top guy in all of his classes, seemed to be for the Jews. Not only for the Jews, but he had a spiritual force that radiated from within Orthodox Judaism and its Kabbalistic offshoots. It seems that he was in fact a Jew. And that's why he was good friends with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And there's much more. We'll talk about that here. For example, he once gave a speech to a Jewish group in which he apologized for not reading, being able to read the Talmud every day, which he said he should do. Now, all of these pastors out there are worried about Sharia law of the Muslims, but how about the halakha, the rabbinic law of the Talmud? He was for it, the Talmud. I once heard him give a speech in which he actually said, we should use the Talmud in the administration of justice. Use the Talmud, the rabbinical law? The same book that says that Jesus is a blasphemer and his mother is a whore? Well, Justice Scalia didn't know that, though, did he? When he recommended the Talmud be used for the American jurisprudence, for American justice? Of course he did. The Pope also knows about the Talmud. They know. They know it's Antichrist. They know that it's of the devil. He was in favor of imposing the Talmud on the United States. He assisted, this is on page 4 of Hoffman's article, Judge Scalia, openly worked for the synagogue. He assisted with a Talmudic training program for future lawyers at the Benjamin Cardozo School of Law. That's part of the leading Talmudic Institute of Higher Education in America, New York's Yeshiva University. Now think about that. He taught there. He endorsed it. A Talmudic training system. Friends, you only have so many hours in life. I want every one of my hours to be devoted to Jesus Christ. And this filthy lawyer, this filthy jurist, Scalia, devoted his time to teaching of the Talmud, to teaching Jewish lawyers. It says here, on November 6, 2013, at the Synagogue and State Conference at Yeshiva University's Center for Torah, Dr. Meir Soloveitchik introduced Scalia as follows, as a speaker. The Jewish director of this center introduced him and he said, quote, it is an immense honor to welcome a justice of the United States Supreme Court who is recognized as one of the most brilliant jurists of our age. I am especially delighted that we will be able to feature Justice Scalia in conversation with Yeshiva alumnus Nathan Lewin. Well, seems that Scalia's one of his closest friends is not only Ruth Bader Ginsburg, his Talmudic crony and friend is Nathan Lewin, a Jewish lawyer. Now, you may have heard of a group called Agri-Processors in the Midwest. It had allegedly one of the worst and most inhumane kosher slaughterhouses in the world. Kosher slaughterhouses. The head of that group, by the way, went to prison. Was investigated by the U.S. government. Now this Lewin, he's advocated, for example, that Palestinian suicide bombers, that their mothers and fathers should be executed. Now wait just a minute. He says the Palestinians who fight against Israel, first you kill them, then you go arrest their mother and father, and you execute them too. I guess that's Talmudic justice. I guess the Scalia was all for that too, right? Well, it's incredible. Now, in 1994, in the case of Board of Education of Kiryas Joel Village School District versus Grumet, Lewin argued before the High Court for the creation of a school district based on the synagogue. You know, Catholic schools, they can't get aid from the government, can they? They say that would be We need separation of church and state. If you start a Baptist school, you can't get money from the government. You're going to have to charge parents, you know, it's a private school money. If you're a Christian, you can't do it. But wait just a minute. Lewin wanted the government to give money, tax aid, to a synagogue community school. Why, Justice Scalia would be against that, wouldn't he? Well, you'd be wrong. Justice Scalia agreed that Talmudic synagogue schools should have taxpayer support. In other words, Scalia went along with the court and said Catholic schools cannot get government money. You're involved in religious education. You can't have it. But now you Jewish synagogue schools, of course, you can get government money. Scalia even wrote a passionate defense of his vote in favor of the taxpayer subsidy advocated by his pal, Mr. Lewin. Now, my good friend Hoffman writes, "What fellowship hath light with darkness?" It's from the Bible. What fellowship hath light with darkness? In 2009, Judge Scalia took part in a day-long conference at the Institute of American and Talmudic Law that was chaired by Rabbi Shlomo Yaffe and Rabbi Noach Haber. That institute is run by the Chabad Lubavitch Hasidim. The Chabad Lubavitch. You know, that was George W. Bush, his spokesperson. Remember the guy, what was his name? I think Lewin or whatever. Yeah, it was a spokesperson. He was with the Chabad Lubavitch. Now, the Chabad Lubavitch are big promoters of the Noahide laws. What are the Noahide laws? They want the Noahide laws to be implemented in America. The Noahide laws say that if you don't become a Jew and worship the Judaic way, you'll have your head cut off. Beheading for any idolaters. What is an idolater? Anyone who worships Jesus. Well, they had an all-day conference there, and Judge Scalia took part in it. Boy, I guess he must have agreed with them, because the same institute believes that Gentiles are supernal refuse. Of course, Jesus Christ was an adulterous, occult imposter. He told the 300 rabbis there, this Justice Scalia, that he tried to study a page of the Talmud every day. By the way, all the Orthodox Jews advocate this. You should study the Talmud every day. Talmudic infiltration of America's legal system. Now, friends, the Talmud says that abortion is perfectly acceptable. And incest is perfectly acceptable. It's no surprise then that Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg, when she was a justice down in Florida, that's what she said. She said, we need to reduce the age for sex between a man and a woman. I think as early as 12 years of age. A 12-year-old girl is fine. So if some 60-year-old girl or guy picks up a 12-year-old girl and has sex with her, that's okay for Judge Ginsburg. I wrote about the depraved views of Judge Ginsburg in my book, my friends, entitled Big Sister is Watching You, about Hillary Clinton. This is demonic stuff. But Justice Scalia said he's all for it. He is a front for the Talmudic infiltration. He groveled before hundreds of rabbis there at the Institute. And it goes on. You can read this article for yourself, or you go on Google and look up Michael Hoffman and read it. Just incredible. Meanwhile, in America, we're losing our freedoms. Meanwhile, abortion has come in. Meanwhile, same-sex marriage is here. Christians are being persecuted. 9/11 occurred. We know who was involved in that. We know that Bush lied about Saddam Hussein to get us in the war, and 4,000 or 5,000 American soldiers died. We know about all of these things that are going on. And this guy is considered a top jurist, a big hero of the conservatives? I don't think so. Now, who killed him? Well, he had an evening pork chop. That tells you something, doesn't it? Found a pillow over his head. Now, it couldn't have been the Jews that killed him. You see, right, what is happening right now is that the Catholic Church is merging with Judaism. They have rabbis right now going before the College of Cardinals at the Vatican and teaching them of the Talmud. They're all learning about the Talmud. And all of these cardinals are saying Jews don't need Jesus. And we, as cardinals, want to study the Talmud. Oh, it's getting down. All the local rabbis and the nuns and the sisters and all that, they're all studying the Jewish Talmud and the Kabbalah. The Catholic Church is ended, my friends. It's over. They have a Jesus look, but it's going away. Now listen, we offer a great book for this, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great, and the book Bloody Zion by my good friend, a former Catholic, Edward Hendry. In Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great, he shows where the Catholic Church has now been integrated with the Jews, and they're very fast. A Jewish rabbi said, we are sucking up the Catholic Church. He said, they're going to be sucked into Judaism. We're swallowing it up. Think about that. I quoted that before. A Jewish rabbi says, we're swallowing it up. 1 billion Catholics, they're falling for it because Il Papa, the Pope, would never lie to us. Somebody killed Zionist apologist. He's a Zionist apologist. He was working with these Jews. Now, they said that he was invited down there, and he told his security detail, don't go with me. I'm going to be alone. Why is that? He met with 25 or 35, maybe 40, of these people. They won't give us the names of the people that were down there with him. It's secret. I think they were Opus Dei people. I think they were Jews and Catholics. And they all met there at this retreat. And by the way, he flew on his private jet. He landed about 30 miles from Marfa, went in to this little bitty retreat. And he was all alone. He wasn't worried about security, but somebody had him fingered. Somebody had him targeted, and they killed him there. I believe, and I know this is not right, and I know it's not a good policy, I believe a patriot killed him. I believe it was a Catholic who still believes that the Jews must believe in Jesus. There are many Catholics like that. They still believe in the old way. They believe in the Catholic Church that taught that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Now, I believe the Catholic Church has always been fouled up myself. And you know, I preach against it. But there are some Catholics who believe strongly that this Pope is an Antichrist. Maybe one of them did it. Maybe one of them was in the FBI. Maybe in the CIA. We have good people. We have patriots in the CIA. And in the military, too, we have high-ranking officers who have been fired by Obama. Maybe one of them did it. Could it be the CIA? Could it be the National Security Agency? Might they have known what was going on here, that these Catholics, these pro-Zionist Catholics, and the Opus Dei people and these Jews were all meeting down in secret to do their dirty deeds, that Scalia was a imposter, that he was one day betray America, and it was very close to that day, and they did him in? I think it's very possible. Very possible. By the way, it's interesting that Obama said he will not have time to go to the funeral. Isn't it? Barack Obama announced that he will not be going to the funeral. Very strange. Communism, Judaism, Opus Dei, the Catholic Church, they're all in it together, dear friends. They're all in it together. We're coming to a time when the son of perdition, the man of sin, the one with the number 666, is about to make his appearance on the world stage. We're going to see a lot of strange things happen and a lot of deaths. Breitbart, and of course, Antonin Scalia. Let him who hath ears hear. This is Tex Mars, my friends, inviting you to tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.